Dominic Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios, First Horizon Park. The Sounds first pitch tonight against the Louisville Bats, 6:35. So the Predators have sent out an email to everybody who's on their email media list saying that they will have their end of the season media availability with the President of Hockey Operations / General Manager David Poile and Head Coach John Hines Thursday, May 11th at 11 a.m. Central Time. I guess I know what I'm doing at 11 a.m. Central Time. Now, I am wearing my Brent Peterson shirt today, my Peterson Foundation for Parkinson's shirt.
It's a nice shirt.
And Coach Pete said to me that I have to be positive. So I'm going to try, you know, guys like Coach Pete and Crispy and Dave McGinnis and, you know, like the old school coaches. Like, man, when those guys talk, I got to listen now. So I'm going to try. But it does essentially confirm what we kind of already knew, which is that Hines and Poile are coming back. Doesn't mean I like it. As you all know, I'm against it. I think there should be changes at the top. I think you guys have spoken, whether it's calling into the show, texting into the show, whether it was kind of the atmosphere at Bridgestone Arena on Monday night of Game 4. I think you guys have spoken that it's not good enough. It will be interesting for me to see what their tenor is tomorrow. I do think the Predators, if they thought the whole time they were going to bring Hines and Poile back, which, full disclosure, we had kind of heard from behind the scenes that they were probably coming back. We didn't hear anything that we could say, like, you know, report that they were coming back or share with you guys. But we kind of knew as of that Monday of Game 4, we kind of knew that they were coming back. But I say all this because I know what the party lines are right now. Like, I know what Chris Mason said on the show Friday. And I think a lot of people over there believe that. Like, I think that those people believe John Hines is a good coach. I do not believe that. But I think they do truly believe that they have a good coach and that situations and poor decisions in the past and things that they didn't expect to happen have happened. And so they are now dealing with it. And they think that David Poile, you know, got you to the cup final the first time, and he can take it down and bring it back. And again, I don't totally believe that, but I think they believe that. The question is, tomorrow, what is it that they are going to present to us that feel like answers? Like legitimate answers. You know, last year it was competitive rebuild. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that we can walk out of this press conference tomorrow. I said this on the day of Game 4. That is, I think Hines and Poile owe you the truth. I don't think they owe you like a long-winded explanation that doesn't make sense and it ends up being, you know, some buzz phrase like competitive rebuild. I think they owe you the truth. If they don't think that this hockey club can compete for the cup next year, I think they owe it to tell you that. And if they think that, hey, you know, things were going good and Saros got hurt and, you know, we thought we were a couple of switches away or a couple of players away that we can get with all of our cap space, I believe that they owe it to you. This is Thursday, not tomorrow that they're doing this. But I believe that they owe it to you to tell you the truth. And I got to hope, and I haven't made a bet with anybody on this, but I have told people that I hypothesize this. I don't think you'll hear anything about preseason expectations. I don't think they're going to go there because I can't believe the reaction that I feel like they've gotten from the whole, like, hey, you know, nobody picked us to finish where we finished. Like, dude, you finished 16th. Like, congratulations, nobody picked you to finish 16th. Here, hey, go to the trophy shop and get me a 16th place trophy. You know what I mean?
Well, why would they not bring it up?
Because I think they've gotten so crushed for it.
I don't think they have.
Oh, I think they have.
I don't think so.
Oh, morning show's killed them. We've killed them. I think Vingan's probably killed them. I mean, Vingan called Poile an unreliable narrator. Like, for him to say, like, that's a pretty strongly worded statement. I mean, basically, that's Vingan saying that the guy didn't tell the truth. Right?
But what are they going to say?
I don't know.
Because that's been what their go-to.
That's probably why it's a week and a half after the playoff loss until they start talking, is because they've been thinking about what they're going to say to this fan base right now. That I think, if you're being fair, and that's all I strive to be, I think it's a fan base that right now does not completely trust where the team is headed. I don't think that's a stretch, right?
No. I don't think that's a stretch whatsoever. Just based off of what I've seen in the text line and conversations on Twitter and just in the fan base in general, I don't think, at least me and I think a lot of Predators fans as well, you don't see a clear path to the future. Because if the Predators truly did want to rebuild and they were just god-awful this year, but you knew what they were doing, they were getting younger, they were finding younger players, they were doing whatever they needed to do in order to take three steps forward, they were going to have to take two steps back. I would be fine with that. I think that everyone is just confused about the plan. Okay, so you're going to get younger, but you're going to keep an older core, but you barely squeaked your way into the playoffs and got embarrassed in the first round of the playoffs. So what's your new plan? Are you going to continue with what you did last year and hope for different results? I think everyone just wants a clear path to what this team is going to do next year and why they're doing that to be better.
And I am with you with this caveat. What they're probably going to say, if they tell us the truth, I'm probably going to disagree with. But that's okay.
But don't go into it thinking that.
Well, I mean,
I don't think it's fair to go into it thinking that.
The way that they've got to get out of this, this is me. The way they've got to get out of this is the way that a 72-year-old general manager who's on the hot seat and a head coach who's probably coaching for his career would not want to go down. You know, like, there's no quick fix in the way that I think that they... This is the way I look at it. I look at it as Pecorine elevated the entire franchise for a playoff series and the following year. I thought the Predators were a solid team, like a solid, good team. Like, the 2016 team was a solidly good team that if things had broken their way, they could have ended up in the Cup final. The 17 team was a better team than the 16 team at the end of the year because they had P.K. Subban instead of Shea Weber and whatever, but Pekka carried that team up to the mountaintop. Then Pekka was phenomenal the next year, and those guys played harder than their opponents every single night because they were convinced the reason they lost to the Penguins was because they didn't have home ice. So they wanted to get home ice. So they took every game seriously, kind of like Arvidsson, where Arvidsson plays so hard every game. But then he gets in the playoffs and he doesn't score goals because, you know, the other guys are playing hard too. They lost a tough series with Winnipeg. But after that, all these guys that we were giving credit to started to sign these contracts and they started to get a little lazy. And Pekka started to get a little bit older. And because Pekka was the thing that was holding it all up, that started to take its toll on the team. They started losing and everybody didn't know why. And people that signed 8-year contracts weren't willing to sit there and say that actually I'm not really the reason for the success, but that's partly it. I think the Predators have, you know, in their history shown that they are quick to move off somebody a year too late as opposed to moving off them a year too early, which is what I think they should do some of. You know, they got forced into moving off of James Neal a year too early, but it's probably a good thing they did because James Neal signed a contract after his initial Predators contract ran out in Vegas, and James Neal was awful. So I think that, you know, they lost some leadership in Mike Fisher. Guys got older, got more hurt, got worse. But I think the guys they invested in are guys that you shouldn't invest in. I mean, they invested in Johansson, and I don't think there was an article on Deadspin. I know Deadspin's like, you know, losing their mind right now with all the crazy stuff that comes out. But there was an article on Deadspin last week, and the headline was like, you know, let's applaud the thievery of Ryan Johansson. Like, it was bad. And it basically went over the fact that Johansson has just been taking money, and not producing. And, like, this past year, I'll give Johansson credit because he had nobody on his line, and so I can't totally hold that against him. But I guess the point I'm making is Pekka carried everybody to the mountaintop, and when it came down, all these guys that we all gave a lot of credit to for why they got there really weren't as important as we thought they were. But then they signed all these guys to long-term extensions, so then in order to get out of them and not retain salary, which the Predators never do, they had to get nothing in return. And so you traded something that was injured and old and would tie you down, but you traded that for nothing. So then you just have nothing. And, I mean, the window shut. And they went for it during the window. And the moves that they used to go for it weren't good enough. So they didn't win a cup. And now the window's shut. And so the way to get out of it is to really enter a true rebuild. And I don't think they're willing to do that, because if they do that, Poyle, I don't know if he'll ever get fired. Hines is going to get fired if they enter a rebuild. Like, if you enter a full-on rebuild and you go into year four and you haven't won anything, you know, you haven't won anything big, and then your team stinks, even if it's not your fault in this league, you're out. In any league, mm-hmm. you're out. We talk about Arthur Smith getting fired all the time. We love Arthur.
But especially in the NHL.
In the NHL, it's a fire the coach sport. And so that's why I think I'm going to disagree with whatever their message is if they actually tell us what their plans for the team are. And that's the only thing I'm asking for out of this media session with Hines and Poyle. Is all I'm asking is that they tell us, but more importantly, by extension, you, that they tell you guys the truth. That's all I'm asking for. 615-737-1025. Let's get your thoughts on it. Hines and Poyle are for sure coming back. 615-737-1025. They will meet with the media on Thursday. How important is what they say on Thursday? We'll get to that next. Plus, the difference between what I think we feel, including you, the fans, and what I think everybody else is telling us to feel. We'll get to that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number here on the program. Tune in for Sounds Baseball, where we are tonight here at First Horizon Park at 635 on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds begin a six-game homestand taking on the Louisville Bats, the AAA affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 is presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. There you go. That was Roman Josi after the season was over. And the whole we didn't get enough credit for finishing 16th, I don't think it's going to fly Thursday with Hines and Poyle talking.
How much credit do they want for finishing 16th?
I we'll have to ask them on Thursday.
We can do just that.
You know, I will say this. Like, I was reading The Athletic. They have their power rankings. And, of course, the Predators and The Athletic's power rankings finished 16th. And they got these two guys, Sean Gentel and Dom, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's last name. But this goes back to what everybody is, like what everybody is telling us that we should feel about the Predators. Like Elliot Friedman was doing this last week, and The Athletic, they do it, which is, of course it was always going to be an uphill battle against arguably the most talented team in the league. I mean, this is exactly what everyone expected would happen, right? Question mark. And I think that's how everybody feels. That's what Chris Mason was saying on the show Friday. Like, I mean, what did you expect him to do against the Colorado Avalanche? And I'm just here to tell you, this may not be fair. I mean, I expected them to lose in four. I picked them in four. Everybody, the trendy, when it's a mismatch in a hockey series, everybody always picks it in five. And I'm like, no, it's not going five. And I didn't expect them to do any better than they did. But that doesn't mean that I accept what they did. And so as much as these national guys can say, like, this is what everybody expected, right? Or that to keep Philip Forsberg at the deadline was a good move, which is what the other guy says. Quote, I don't have any issue with what David Poyle did at the deadline, for the record. If he thought or thinks that a Forsberg return is on the table, it made sense to roll the dice. Maybe, but it's not these fans, the way that these fans are going to feel. If Philip Forsberg bounces for nothing, these people in Canada or wherever they are, they're going to see Philip Forsberg signs with Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't know, whatever. And they're going to say, oh, okay, you know, that'll be good for them. But they don't care about the Predators. And that's my whole point about this, is these people that are telling you that you shouldn't be mad that they lost to the Avalanche, they don't care that the Predators lost to the Avalanche. I care that the Predators got embarrassed in the NHL playoffs. Like, that wasn't what I signed up for. And so that, I think, is going to be my question, or not my question, but kind of my focus is, do Hines and Poyle realize how mad people are? Because if they don't realize how mad people are and they get up there and start talking about how, well, the preseason expectations weren't very good, I mean, I think that's going to make people more mad than I would assume they already are. I don't know how mad they are. You're man of the text line. Let's go to your phones. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What do the people think?
Craig texts in and says, if they get up there tomorrow and start talking about preseason expectations and how they overachieve, that will just confirm to me that John Hines is okay with almost being good and that Poyle is over the hill.
Boy, I tell you, first of all, it's Thursday, not tomorrow, but I don't think these fans are going to take very well to that. And honestly,
I don't really think fans should.
I promised Brent Peterson I was going to be positive. And that lasted an hour. But let me say this. I didn't really promise it. He demanded it, and I didn't say absolutely no way. But it lasted an hour. I will say this. I believe that what we're doing right now, like, you know that they've, I don't know if Poyle sits in his office, listens to the show, or if Hines, you know that they know, right? Like, they know that the gist of what's being said.
Angry about how the season turned out.
Sure. And specifically what's come out of my mouth, because it's been probably the strongest, right?
Yes.
Like, Joe hasn't written an article that says, you know, Poyle should be fired, Hines should be fired. Adam hasn't written, you know, Adam's written that he wants to hear from ownership. But there's a difference between that and fired.
They haven't written necessarily glowing recommendations of the leadership either.
No, and I'll tell you this. They all read what Adam wrote. Like, I already know this. This might be a good thing, because if they're listening over there, they need to understand how these fans are not going to be okay. These fans, this is Nashville, Tennessee, okay? We're not Philadelphia where they boo Santa Claus. If you get up there and you just tell the fans the truth and you just say, like, guys, we wanted to competitively rebuild. For us, that meant, you know, staying competitive in the standings, having an interesting season, you know, trying to see how far it could go. It fell apart from us. We just, you know, we got to figure out what it is that we're missing, but we're
totally not satisfied.
We got totally embarrassed against Colorado. If they say that, the people here, I think, will take that better than, I mean, what did you guys expect us to do? We made the playoffs. Be happy. Because if that's what happens, like, I'm telling you, man, these fans are not going to want to hear that. If you tell them the truth of, like, we thought mid-season that we were competing with St. Louis and competing with Minnesota, and we thought that things maybe could break right for us in the playoffs, and obviously we fell apart down the stretch. If they just tell the truth, the fans may not like what they hear, but at least, again, this is Nashville. I think the fans will be okay with it if they don't feel like they're being sugarcoated. If you try to sugarcoat them, I think you're going to get some people that are really, really mad. Like, I think people, because there's a difference between, like, losing and addressing the losing, and then what I call loser talk, which is, you know, that if the goalie didn't get hurt, then everything would have been right. And the Titans pivoted off that real quickly on Tannehill once they realized everybody wasn't interested in hearing about how, you know, well, you know, Ryan had to tell, you know, it's not his fault. It's not, oh, no, we're not interested in that. And at the combine, Vrabel was like, it's not accepted by us and it's not accepted by him. And we got to get better and we got to, like, you heard a different tone. He had the general manager crying at the combine. You know, that's what, in Nashville, that's how I feel like people take it.
At least I would appreciate a little bit of transparency and at least a little bit of optimism that there's going to be a change.
Just tell the truth.
There's no guarantee that that change is going to be a good change in the long run. There's no guarantee that the Predators are going to turn around and, you know, completely blow the league away next year. But at least a little bit of change, because what they're doing right now isn't working.
And just tell the truth.
Be transparent.
Just tell the truth. Just tell us what you think, where you're headed. And that's hard to do, because when you do that, you know, that will affect your leverage. You know, if everybody thinks you're trying to tear it down to rebuild and you call up trying to trade Matias Ekholm, they know what you're trying to do. And so it won't kill your leverage, but it will affect it. And so that's a hard part. But I think you need to be honest with the fans, because the Predators have done a really good job of building a fan base that now cares, that cares about this. And so they want to be told the truth. Jerry is up next here on the program. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hello, Jerry and Caroline. The main problem with both Nashville teams, the Predators and the Titans, is they've expectations to be better, and they don't show that they have that drive to be better than average.
I disagree with you on both of that. What have the Titans and Predators done that make you think that they're okay with being average?
Well, one, they're dragging Tannehill along when he's shown that in the total part that he can't get it done or maintain what he started. And the Predators are the same way because they're making excuses for reaching where they did and not having expectations above what everyone else has put in front of them.
Okay, so I want to analyze both of that. Thank you for your call, Jerry. I mean, the reason Tannehill's the starting quarterback of the Titans is because there isn't somebody else out there who's better for sure that wouldn't cost you way more than what they're actually worth. Like, I wouldn't pay what Denver paid for Russell Wilson. I mean, I might. I'd have to think about it. But I probably wouldn't pay that in order to upgrade from Tannehill to Wilson, even though I'd much rather have Wilson as my quarterback than rather have Tannehill. Let's say that Tampa Bay agreed to Tom Brady's request that he be released by the Buccaneers. Do you think the Titans, if they could trade Tannehill to Tampa Bay and then sign Tom Brady, do you think the Titans would have done that?
Absolutely they would.
Okay. So, I mean, I think it's different. As far as the Predators are concerned, I just think the window closed. And when the window closes, if you won't go out and say that it's closed, then you're telling people that it's still open or you're trying to sell them this idea that it's open. And people don't want to hear that. And now you're using preseason expectations, which I didn't even think about or care about. Or I don't ever remember talking about the preseason expectations of the national media on our show. And yet you're saying that is like was good. They know that wasn't good enough. They know. Like, I think in the back of his mind, John Hines knows that losing that Arizona game and not drawing Calgary was a legitimate fireable offense. That you get the wrong owner, the wrong general manager, the wrong guy trying to save his butt, that he could have been fired over losing that Arizona game and not drawing Calgary and instead getting Colorado. Like, I think he knows that he's lucky that he works for an organization that is as loyal as the Predators are, because there are other organizations that would have canned him for that. And I mean, like, Bruce Cassidy might get fired in Boston. Barry Trotz just got fired. Like, what are we... I mean, come on now. So, I do... You know, I don't think that they believe that about how... that they took a step forward. I think they're just trying to sell that to all of you all so that you all don't turn off the TVs and get mad about the season. You know, they're trying to make you feel better about the fact that they made the playoffs.
I don't think they want to be average.
No, they don't want to be average. None of these teams are trying to win.
Why would you want to be average?
These teams are trying to win. I mean, the Predators are trying to win. The Titans are trying to win. The Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won.
It's a business as well.
The Toronto Maple Leafs haven't won a playoff series since I was in the eighth grade. And they are trying their rear ends off to win. So I'm not saying the Predators aren't trying or that the Titans aren't trying. Now, the cap space stuff, that will get asked. And they've got it, so they're probably going to have to spend it. 615-737-1025. I've got a Preds hot take, and then we're back to your phones. But this hot take, I don't think should be controversial at all. And I know people are going to be upset about it. So we'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company right here, live at First Horizon Park, where once again the Sounds are taking on the Louisville Bats. 615-737-1025. Caroline wants to tell you about our fine folks with the Caesars Sportsbook app.
All right, everyone, gather around because I've got a very important announcement for you about the Caesars Sportsbook app. So when you've placed your first bet with Caesars, it's risk-free, up to $1,100. So download the app and use the promo code RADIOCZR. One word, RADIOCZR, and then place your first bet. And if you win, then congratulations, you just made a little bit more money. But if not, then you'll get your wager back as a free bet. Now, if you need something to place that first bet on, look at the Celtics Heat game tonight, because the Celtics are coming in as underdogs, but I think they're going to be able to get it done tonight. So I'm going to take the Celtics on the money line plus 115 on the Caesars Sportsbook app. But hey, that's my take. Do it how you want to do it. Just do it with Caesars. Must be 21 and physically present in Tennessee. New users only, but amount of qualifying wager return only if wager settles a loss. Paid as a single bet credit, must be used within 14 days. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Gambling problem? Call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Caesars Sportsbook. Downloaded, people.
That was Philip Forsberg on Locker Cleanout Day. So Thursday, when John Hines and David Poyle meet with the media, they'll be asked about Philip Forsberg and what they're going to do. And their answer will be, we're going to try to sign Philip. You know, we just haven't come to an agreement, but we look forward to talking to his agent. We look forward to Philip being a Nashville Predator for a long time. But they won't commit to signing Philip Forsberg because they can't. But here's my hot take, because I got a hot take I've been thinking about, I've been sitting on, and Caroline does not know what this hot take is.
No, I don't. You went out of your way to not tell me.
I want you to hear this for the first time. The Predators are going to have to sign Philip Forsberg. Just given upon what they view themselves as, they're not going to undergo a full-blown rebuild, and I'm not even sure they really should. I think that they should look at building around Josi and Forsberg and Ekholm and Askarov and Tomasino and kind of, and like Johansson kind of has to because no one will take him. So that group right there. I think they should sign Philip Forsberg. I think it'll probably cost him about $9 million. They won't want to pay it. He won't be worth it. He'll get a modified no movement clause probably. You may have to go to a full no movement clause. I don't like it, but Philip Forsberg lived up to his 6-year contract. He's a solid player. He's always going to give you his best effort. He's never going to be a distraction. You never have to worry about Philip Forsberg being a bad player or bad guy, even though he's streaky. So I would do that. And then I would turn around and trade Matt Duchene. So I am out of the Matt Duchene business. And I know he scored 40 goals this past year. And that's precisely why I would trade him now. Now, I talked to somebody who has, you know, who's been in the NHL for a long time. And I said, what do you think they could get for Matt Duchene? And the guy told me nothing. And I asked Adam Vingan today, I was like, do you think the Predators could get a first-round pick? Now, remember, Duchene went for 2 firsts, I believe, and a prospect when he got traded from Ottawa to Columbus a couple years ago. I go, What do you think the Predators will get a first-round pick for Matt Duchene? And he said no. So Duchene scored 40 goals this past year. And Adam Vingan and a guy I trust in the NHL are telling me, like, nobody wants Duchene. So maybe it doesn't make a whole bunch of sense, but I do believe that there's a desperate enough general manager out there who, with the cost certainty of a potential 40-goal scorer, that they will give you a first-round pick because they probably think that if I don't win, then I'm going to get fired and I won't even be able to use this first-round pick, that they'll give you a first-round pick in next year's draft in exchange for Matt Duchene. And so while you got nothing in return for Forsberg at the deadline because you didn't trade him, and you really can't get anything for Forsberg even if you trade his rights before the draft, you get something by signing Forsberg, and it's $1 million extra than what you're paying, what you get rid of in Duchene, and then you turn around and you move on from Matt Duchene and you get a first-round pick. It won't make you a better team next year, but I believe that it will make you a better team for the long haul because I do not believe that Matt Duchene's season was sustainable. I do not believe Matt Duchene will ever be this good ever again. And honestly, I just find Matt Duchene as a loser player. Like, I just, he's the kind of guy that I don't want on my team. And the way he left Colorado bothered me. The fact that he's never been on a winning team other than that one time that they upset Tampa Bay and Columbus, and that was with the payday in front of him. The fact that he's never been on a winning team really bothers me. Like, Colorado was the bottom of the league, and he was their one star. And they traded him, and all of a sudden, they turned it around like that. And that bothers me. His comments after the series about how, you know, I look at us like that Colorado team, that bothered me a lot. Because it was so detached from reality. It's like, dude, the Colorado team got good when you left. And on top of it, this team is nothing like that Colorado team. That Colorado team had young players everywhere. And so I'm just not a huge, I just don't think you're going to get 40 goals out of Matt Duchene. I don't think that he plays this hard all the time. I think he had something to prove. And I think now's your chance to get out before the no movement clause kicks in. You still got a bunch of the years and the money. It's been somewhat underwhelming. I would sign Forsberg, and I'd turn around and trade Duchene. And that way you get something for Duchene instead of trying to rebuild. Here's my big fear. My big fear is exactly what happened that led to John Hines and Ray Shiro getting fired in New Jersey is going to happen here. which is team got the playoffs. They got a monster season out of Taylor Hall. Then the next year they weren't that good, so they really wanted to ramp it up. We wanted to win. So they went out, they traded for P.K. Subban, who was no good when they got rid of him here, and Wayne Simmons, who was also no good of when he was here, and they didn't win any games to start. They drafted Jack Hughes first overall, and they didn't win games, and they fired the coach. But the ownership put the pressure on management to go get players because, hey, you know, now's our time. Let's go get players. There's obviously pressure on the general manager and the coach. And so with all this cap space that Willie talks about all the time, I could see the Predators saying, we got the cap space, let's go buy Nazem Kadri. But you're not a Nazem Kadri away from being a good team. So then what you're going to do is you're going to, what do you always do when you go to free agency? You always overpay. And so you go overpay in free agency, and you overpay two free agents with your cap space, and you sign Forsberg, and now you're locked up in Johansson, and you're locked up in Duchesne, and you're locked up in these guys that you overpaid for. And I just don't think you're a couple free agents away from competing with those Colorado teams. So I don't think they're going to do it, but that's what I think that they should do is I do think this is your chance. Sign Forsberg, commit to him, rebuild around him and Yossi and Tomasino and Ekholm, and maybe the goalie, though I'd probably trade the goalie, but then I would trade Matt Duchesne. I'm out of the Matt Duchesne business.
You're going to find someone to take that contract?
So you're going to have to probably retain some salary, which the Predators have never done. But I do not believe the Predators can do the things that they've never done in order to get themselves out of the situation they're in. I just don't think it's feasible. Like, I don't, you know, the whole we don't give out no movement clauses. I don't think you can do that with Philip Forsberg. Because you've already traded Arvidsson and Ellis and Subban and Weber, and so you've already done that.
Well, with Forsberg at this point, you just have to bend the knee to whatever
he wants.
I mean, all of your leverage is gone on May 17th.
And like, if Forsberg doesn't return, then I think you have to. Then I think everybody but Yossi probably becomes.
Point, you're almost forced into a rebuild.
That's what all these national people that tell us how to feel, that's what they all say, is that if you don't bring back Forsberg, you're into a rebuild. So to me, you bring back Forsberg and you trade Duchesne. I don't think his value will ever be higher. And I would trade him, and I would hope to get a first-round pick out of him. You know, Boston did this when they decided they were done with Milan Lucic. They traded him to the LA Kings for a first-round pick. And I believe they traded Dougie Hamilton to Calgary for a first-round pick. So if you can figure out a way to get a couple of picks, and then maybe that helps you rebuild on the fly, because right now they need a draft defenseman. They need help at forward. I mean, they really need help everywhere except for goalie. And I feel like now is the only chance to get out from Matt Duchesne. Even if it means retaining a little bit of salary, I think this is the only way to get out from Matt Duchesne. I don't think he's as good as he played this year. And I just don't love the player. Like, I just don't.
Don't love the age either.
I just don't think you win with guys like him. And I'm not saying he's a bad guy. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I just don't feel it.
I don't hate it.
I think you win with guys.
I don't hate it.
I think you win with guys like Yossi, and I think Forsberg has the winning attitude. I think Saros has a winning attitude. Even though Ekholm didn't play well this year, I think he's got a winning attitude. Did I say Pekka? Because Pekka had, I mean, the winning attitude. But I just don't think Duchesne, like, I don't think Duchesne and Johansson have the winning attitude. And so now that Duchesne has played to a point where you can get out from under it, that's what I would do. So that's my Preds hot take, is I would get rid of Matt Duchesne. What are your thoughts?
I don't hate it, because they always say, I said it with AJ, get out while you're ahead. You don't want to hold on too long to where you're forced to have to give them up and you get nothing in return. I'm with you that I don't predict that Matt Duchesne has another 40-goal season or gets even close to it. I think that his seat was incredibly hot because of the amount of money that he was making, the contract that he had, and the fact that he didn't have the production to match. So I don't think that this past year is the rule and not the exception. I think it's very much so the other way around. But I do think that it's a very uncomfortable move, because you look at this past season and a lot of Predators fans might say, where would this team be without Matt Duchesne? And I agree. Without those 40 goals, where would you be? Probably not the playoffs. I don't know.
Sure.
It's an uncomfortable move. It's not a move that makes you better right now, but it's a move that makes you better in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. So if this team is going to talk about a rebuild, albeit competitive, if this team's going to talk about a rebuild, you have to make those uncomfortable moves. So I really don't hate it.
I mean, Duchesne, like, this is what's happened for years, is that people are like, you know, we need to trade. We need to trade Turris. And the guys that you don't want, nobody else wants either.
And also, let's go back to last year when I think we were all begging and praying, Seattle, please take Johansson or Duchesne.
Yeah.
Please take Johansson or Duchesne. And I know that a 40-goal season is what separates us from then and now, but how much do we really expect Duchesne to improve at, what, 30 years old, 31
Duchesne,
years old?
Duchesne has given you the chance to get out. The 40 goals, I think there's going to be a team desperate enough, a general manager, a guy who loses in free agency that says, you know, we're one player away and I don't like trading a first for him, but it's $8 million and the market's going up, so let's just go ahead and do it. With that, to your phones. 615-737-1025. Your wonderful phones are next. Stillman & Company. Live from First Horizon Park. Sounds tonight against the Louisville Bats. First pitch, 635. Great seats available at ESPN 1025 The Game and 1063. Stillman & Company. Again, John Hines and David Poyle will meet with the media at 11 o'clock on Thursday, which means one thing. They are for sure lock it in coming back as coach and general manager of the Predators next year. And we got a bunch of takes to get to, but I promised phones, so phones we will do. 615-737-1025. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Live at First Horizon Park, where the Sounds take on the Louisville Bats tonight, 635. Caroline, go!
Alex is not happy with you.
Why?
Alex says, Jared, your comments about Duchesne could not be worse. I get those statistics on him about the teams he left, but he was one of our best players this year and our leader in goals in the playoffs. You can't talk that much trash on him.
Trash. I mean, I just don't think he's a winning player. And, I mean, what quantifies a winning player? I get it. It's completely anecdotal. But I just don't see – I just don't think – it's like people in radio, right? I think there are some really talented radio hosts. But if you don't have the same kind of intensity that I have, I just don't think those people are ever going to make it. I just don't think that the people who don't just live it. Like Johansson, for instance. Like, I don't think Johansson's a winning player because I don't think he just lives this. And I believe Pecorine lives it.
What is a winning player?
Like somebody, like Derrick Henry has the winning player in him. You know, AJ, I could be talked one way or another on. I don't find Lawan to be a winning player. You know what I mean? Like Lawan can be on a team that wins, but I don't ever see Lawan as like a leader of a team that wins. And I just don't see
Duchesne. Is it because of the podcast?
No, I think it's because he's kind of a loser. You know, like the crying about the fans after the... The Colts game about, well, I heard they booed me when I came out. It's like the thing that we were talking about off the air. About the time that John Hines, you know, last year, John Hines knew I was going to ask him a question about Rod Brind'Amour, complaining about the penalties because, you know, he knew. And so Hines knew what I was going to ask before I asked it. And I asked it. Hines took out a giant piece of paper and then started, like, you know, reeling off all the reasons that I was wrong. And my biggest issue with that was not like the, you know, the fanboys on Twitter that were like, oh, you got him, coach. It was that, like, you're so worried about the loudmouth radio host in the middle of a playoff series that you took time out of your day to prepare for that question and answer when you're getting ready to play game 6 against the Carolina Hurricanes. Like, dude, get ready for the game.
Like, focus on what's important.
Yeah, and with Duchesne, and I don't mean this to be like that he's a bad guy. I think Duchesne is just not a winning player. I just think he just kind of goes about it like it's a job. And you can have guys on your team and win that way, but you cannot build your team around those guys.
And I hear the texture saying, you know, he had 40 goals this season. He led the Predators in goals in the playoffs. I understand that. First of all, what did that get you in the playoffs?
That's the only reason you can get out of it. Nobody wants your trash.
And that's the opportune time. I always say, get out while you're ahead. The Titans got out while they were ahead with AJ. Did you want the Titans to hold on to AJ and maybe he injures his leg again and he can't get out there on the field now? You can't trade him for anything. It's an uncomfortable move that you have to make because why would anybody else want your player who stinks?
Yeah. I mean,
and if you do want to rebuild,
Seattle didn't
want
him for free. They did not want him for free last year.
Well, and it was the contract with Seattle.
It's the same contract.
I know that, but it's not because Duchesne was a bad player. They just didn't want the contract.
No, I don't think they would
have. You don't just absolve yourself of the entire contract if you trade Duchene. I can't imagine that you would.
I don't think that they would have. I do not think that Seattle would have taken Matt Duchene unless it was like, you know, the same contract as Yarn Croak. You know what I mean?
I disagree.
So, like, if Duchene
was... Kelly Yarncroak is a much better player than Matt Duchene?
No, but I think that, like, if Duchene... If you had, like, any standard level of true commitment to a core player like Duchene... So, I'm talking, like, the same 6 years, $6 million per year that Forsberg has. Or, like, the same contract Ekholm has. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that kind of contract, I still don't think they would have taken him. Even though his contract is much better, you know, is more money than those contracts. What else we got?
Kyle texts in and says, most Stanley Cup winning teams are built from within, meaning they draft their superstars early. If we could miss the playoffs next season, get a top five pick, then we could be set for the future. It's a gamble, but it is worth it as every team and that's in the Stanley Cup playoffs has that type of star.
So I feel like every time we talk about that, we get talked down to.
In what way?
Like Chris Mason, you know, like that. Well, how did those guys get those stars?
They had to be bad.
I know how they got the stars.
They drafted them.
That's how these sports work. Like, that's how the socialist government sports with salary caps work, is how do you get the really, really good players that aren't injured? You draft them. How did Cincinnati get Joe Burrow? They drafted him. But I do think there's a really inherent fear of making the of not making the playoffs around here, and I don't know if it's a money thing. I don't know if it's a pride thing. I don't know if it's a anything can happen when you make the playoffs kind of thing. But, I mean, I think, again, the difference between us and them is they look at not making the playoffs as like, not make the playoffs. Whereas I kind of look at not making the playoffs as, you know, this team needs to reset a little bit. This team needs picks. This team needs to draft defensemen again. This team needs, you know, young forwards that get you excited. Like, this team needs all of that stuff except for goalie. And I don't know if they feel that way or not. And then the other thing, too, comes down to the general manager and the coach, right? So if you want to take it down and build it up, those guys aren't going to be here when that's over. And they know that because they know how pro sports works. Like, you get fired. Like, these coaches of these teams that aren't very good get fired. Zach Taylor walked into last year on the hot seat in Cincinnati, and they just happened to go to the Super Bowl. But they were terrible those first 2 years, and those fans were like, all right, now, what's going to happen? And so that's sports. What's next?
Another texter says, I think Matt Duchene is better when he has a good player in his line with him. It looks like the two best season he's had is with another player who also had a good season who played with him a lot.
So here's your option. You can either sign them both and be handcuffed to both of them, Forsberg and Duchene. You can sign one and get young assets. What are those assets? I don't know. For the other one, like legitimate assets, because I think someone will give you a first-round pick for Duchene. You can do that. Or you can keep one and get nothing for the other one. Which one would you choose?
Probably the second.
That's my line of thinking.
Get something in return. Keep the other one. You at least have, you maintain a part of your core, but you have to get draft picks in return.
That's how I feel about it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. A former NFL general manager tells us what his expectation with Ryan Tannehill is and how much pressure is on Ryan Tannehill. And why it drives me insane. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company right here, live from First Horizon Park, where the Sounds take on the Louisville Bats tonight at 6:35. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game and 106.3.